Today on Real Radio.
This morning we're going to see that it's by God's Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. And by the way, it is promised to all of us, but it will be given to those who are disciples. I want you to hear that again. It has been promised to all of us, but it will be given to those who are disciples. Jack, what do you mean? I thought when I accepted Christ, I got the Holy Spirit. You did. The Bible says so. You were baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. But what Jesus is going to be speaking to us about and what Luke's going to be telling us in the book of Acts has nothing to do with you being baptized into the body of Christ concerning salvation. It has everything to do with the work of the Holy Spirit being upon you, having His power, having His witness in your life. Do you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you? Do you know that? If you do, you will be a very effective witness in whatever ministry God calls you to do.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher begins a brand new series through the book of Acts. Historically, the book of Acts, and in fact, chapter 1, is generally accepted as the record of the birth of the church. The title of the first study in this series, quite simply, The Acts of the Apostles. It's taken from the first few verses of chapter 1. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
All right, why don't we turn in our Bibles right now to Acts chapter 1 as we get into the book of Acts, and we're going to breeze quickly into the introduction and get into the meat of the scripture. Luke, who's the author of the book, really wastes no time in getting right into the very heart. And in fact, in verse 8, we'll see the very theme of the entire book. That he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That is the very theme. And so if you're taking notes this morning, you're going to want to jot down there in your bulletin, you'll find a notepad that you can hang on to. The very theme is in verse 8, not only for the chapter, but for the entire book of Acts. The title of the message this morning is The Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. And by the way, quickly, we're not going to hem and haw about too much debate concerning the actual title of the book. In the original text, the book was not titled The Acts of the Apostles. It was given by the King James translators in about 1610. And it was given as the Acts of the Apostles. There are theologians who want to battle back and forth. Is it really the Acts of the Apostles, or should it be entitled the Acts of the Holy Spirit? Or what about the Acts of Jesus? And some have said, well, what about it should be called the Acts of the Church? Well, you know what? I like what G. Campbell Morgan says. G. Campbell Morgan says, we'll let the theologians decipher their theological twiddledees from their twiddledums. But he says, I think the title of the book is The Acts of the Holy Spirit, while influencing the disciples in the world through the church of all time. I like that title the best. That's the one we're going to use. But make no mistake about it, this is God's book written to us to teach us how a church ought to be. Not only a church, and by the way, this is a church, and it seems to be growing every day now by the looks of things in here. But the fact of the matter is, you are the church of Jesus Christ. We come together twice a week to congregate in a corporate group. Then we congregate later on in home fellowships. And then we maybe come together in prayer meetings throughout the course of the week. But the bottom line is, you are the church. And have you been to a doctor lately? One of the things he walks in, you can tell him, I broke my foot. And you walk in there, and what's the first thing they do? They stick a thermometer in your mouth. It has nothing to do with your foot. Then they take your blood pressure. And then they check your pulse. I broke my foot. Listen, whenever the body is injured in any location, There's a certain thing that a physician goes through just to check all the signs, make sure there's nothing complicating, because that fact, yes, you have a broken foot, but if you have a slight fever, it's going to tell him what medications to give you. It's very vital. This morning, you are the church. We are here corporately, but you're just as much the church the moment you leave this place and go down the street. And how's your pulse? Is your heart beating for God? I have been biting at the bit to get to the book of Acts. I can't wait. And I don't think it's God's coincidence that we ended in the book of Mark on Easter morning. Then we go away to Russia to start a church and see miracles. And then to come back now and to begin this book. I can't help but think it's God's timing. He's in this. And I stressed to you this morning, I want you to be in this book. I promise you that if you pay attention and if I am faithful to the office God's called me to, we will be changed as a body, both corporately and independently, in this book more than any other time in the course of our lives. Are you ready for that? I am ready for it. I am so afraid of becoming stagnant and stale as a believer. I've been asking myself, well, Lord, now that you've started a church in Russia through this fellowship, what's next? I'm afraid to sit back. This morning, we're going to see that it's by God's Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. And by the way, it is promised to all of us, but it will be given to those who are disciples. I want you to hear that again. It has been promised to all of us, but it will be given to those who are disciples. Jack, what do you mean? I thought when I accepted Christ, I got the Holy Spirit. You did. The Bible says so. You were baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. But what Jesus is going to be speaking to us about and what Luke's going to be telling us in the book of Acts has nothing to do with you being baptized into the body of Christ concerning salvation. It has everything to do with the work of the Holy Spirit being upon you, having His power, having His witness in your life. Do you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you? Do you know that? If you do, you will be a very effective witness in whatever ministry God calls you to do. Those are strong words, and yet the scripture will back them up. Jesus is going to be speaking to His apostles, and why don't you jot this down in your notes, because it's important. We need to understand that He's speaking to His apostles. The word in the Greek is apostolos. It means one who is delegated to a task, one who's an ambassador, one who is sent. And in the New Testament context, which you and I live in today, it is one who holds miraculous powers by the working of the Spirit. We need to keep that in mind. But we need to also realize, why is this the title? If there's such a debate about the title of the book, why is that so? And before we jump in, I want you to think, why is this the title and how is this the title of this book? And here's the answer. The answer is simple and it's very concise. The why and the how is answered in this response. It is how and it is why by the work and by the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, many of us love God. Many of us are born again and we're going to heaven. But because of non-scriptural influence in some perhaps denominations that we've come from, we shy away from the person of the Holy Spirit. We get nervous. I don't want to talk about Him. I love the Father and I love the Son, but I don't know about that Spirit. And I ask you why. Well, people who talk about the Spirit, they get kind of funky, you know, they kind of get quivery, hands go up, and their voice is like a frog got a hold of them. Well, who said that's the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't know, man. I went to a church and they were talking about the Holy Spirit, and then people sprang out of their seats and they were swinging from the chandelier and rolling down the aisle, and that's not the Holy Spirit. Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not a lunatic. The Holy Spirit is God. God raised, the Father raised the Son Jesus Christ from the grave by the Holy Spirit, and He wants to raise us from the dead. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I have Him. I understand you do. But when was the last time you were filled? Well, do I need to be? That's what the book of Acts is all about. I want you to put your thinking caps on. I want you to let the Scripture speak to you. I'm of no denominational persuasion, so relax. Let the Word of God speak, but I tell you this right now, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives like never before. The focal point of this entire book, according to my opinion, is not what man can do with the Holy Spirit. We run around from meeting to meeting. Oh, the Spirit's moving. Oh, and now he's over here. I went to a service years ago. It was so strange. There are thousands of people gathered around, and the pastor was standing up there, and people began to quiver and vibrate. And he said, oh, look, the Holy Spirit just came in the door right there to my left. And man, I am up. I am looking. Where is he? He's moving right down this aisle. He's coming right over here. And oh, and there he goes. Oh, and he's going. And then he went out. And then I thought, he went out? Then I'm going where he's going. What do you mean he went out? Now, I don't think that's very scriptural. David says, where shall I flee from thy presence? Behold, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. How is that so when Jesus sits on the throne of God? By the person and by the work of the Holy Spirit. He's spirit. John 4:24 says that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. But are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And herein lies our victory. It's not what man can do with the Holy Spirit, but it's what the Holy Spirit can do with a man. That's the point. And this book, by the way, concerning God's empowerment of a person's life or the Christian church exactly, is broken up into three areas of this entire book. In chapters 1 through 8, it's divided into the local ministry. The local ministry in chapters 1 through 8. In chapters 8 through 12, there's a little overlap there, it's the regional ministry that we see working in this book of Acts. And then in chapters 13 to chapter 28, it is the global ministry of God's church. By the way, you have a great part in that this morning. Now, listen to this. In chapters 1 through 12, there's a leading minister in the local work, and that is Peter. Peter is in his prime in chapters 1 through 12. And then in chapters 13 to 28, the leading minister in the regional work of God is Paul the Apostle. Isn't that interesting? But you know who the leading ministers are in the world in chapters 28 to 1994, May 1st? Little old you. It's us. Doesn't that excite you to no end? Well, I don't know if I believe it. Well, you better believe it. Because God is doing a work in the earth, and you're it. He wants to affect the world. Yes, he starts in Jerusalem, but by the way, have you read? He winds up throughout the entire world. And that's through us. And that's exciting. By the way, the book of Acts is technically, I think, the only incomplete book in the Bible. Are you aware of that? The book of Acts is not complete because this is the Acts of those whom the Spirit has indwelt. And it is still continuing today. We talked to our missionaries in China, Al and Cecil, and the things that are going on there. Things that challenge our faith in God. Are you ready for this? There are people, and we're not talking about some backwoods little shed, nobody sees it kind of thing. Literally documented facts of people who have been born handicapped or people who have been persecuted by the government there for believing, and some not believing, who are receiving their hands back. They're growing miraculously. Oh, I don't believe it. Well, read your Bible and get up and see what God's doing. Well, how come I don't see it here? I said, well, you know what? First thing you're going to do, you're going to hang on. You're going to go with us to Russia and see what God's doing there. And then if God puts it into our ability, maybe we'll see what God's doing in China. Well, why doesn't it happen here? It happens here, but not as much because we have the Word so preeminent. The miracles, per se, are given to qualify the Word of God. Look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels. There are miracles. But I don't think you're going to spot them on Channel 40 or some other station with all the pomp and the glory and all the hype. I think God is doing them to His glory and not any man's. But Christianity begins, as we'll see, in Jerusalem. So why don't we look at the first five verses this morning, and by God's grace, we'll go all the way to the 11th verse. He says in verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. This is Luke speaking. The Gospel of Luke, written by Luke, is the same Luke that wrote Acts, and that is Dr. Luke, M.D. We understand through church history that Luke was a slave of a man named Theophilus, the man he's writing here. Physicians in those days didn't drive black donkeys with Mercedes-Benz on the noses, and they didn't have Beamer camels. They were slaves. The physicians were slaves of hierarchy. And it's understood, according to church history, that Luke was Theophilus's private physician. And Theophilus, when he became a believer, released Luke to be whose private physician? Paul the Apostle's. Luke was with Paul. In fact, Luke is the one who wrote down 2 Timothy as he put his ear to that sewage grid. And Paul was down in the pit talking to Timothy, 2 Timothy, or talking to Luke about 2 Timothy. He was written to Timothy by Luke. Paul speaks it. Luke was with Paul all along the way. He was God's man. And he's written this book, and that's why he says the former account. He's making reference to Luke's gospel. Have I made, O Theophilus, O lover of God, is what his name means, or friend of God. We know from Luke's gospel, chapter 1, verse 3, that he's a man of great power in the Roman Empire. Of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Luke now begins to tell us things concerning Christ after the resurrection. By the way, by way of introduction, you need to write down that this book was completed in the year 61 AD. It took Luke about 30 years to write. About 28 years. How many chapters are there? 28. How many miracles? About 28. So we think we read the book of Acts. Oh man, there's a miracle in every corner. How come it's not happening in my life? Well, as you lay it out, there's about a miracle recorded, a chapter recorded a year in the book of Acts. Kind of interesting, isn't it? But we see in verse 2, until the day in which he, Jesus, was taken up, literally lifted up from heaven and taken into a cloud, and the cloud is not the cloud clouds we have this morning. It is literally the Shekinah glory of God is the reference to the cloud. Taken up into the cloud, God's glory. He was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom, that is the apostles, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Are you a skeptic this morning? Do you not believe in Jesus Christ? First of all, you're wonderfully welcome here. We hope you keep coming back. I'm a skeptic. You got to show it to me first. Let's put it in water and see if it floats. It's the way I am. And so if you're a skeptic, I love you. Man, I can relate so much to you, but let me lay this on you. Jesus was raised from the dead, and his appearance after his death was with many infallible proofs. The word in the Greek means undeniable facts. Did you know that Jesus Christ, his life is more documented than any other living person on the face of the earth? Bar none. Jesus himself alone. How are you going to deal with that? I'm too smart to become a Christian. No, you're not. If you were smart, you'd become a Christian now. Well, I'm a scientific man. I told you that we stood toe-to-toe with a professor of physics in Russia. And I deliberately didn't necessarily bring Bible up. I wanted to just go toe-to-toe because if somebody's an evolutionist or whatever, they can't do good science and be an evolutionist. It's impossible because evolution goes against science. So we went toe-to-toe on scientific grounds alone. And then I came to the end of it was the Lord's argument. I was blown away with what God was doing. I couldn't believe this. And then I said, by the way, after all the things we've discussed and went through the second law of thermodynamics and all of these things, what about you? I'm an evolutionist. And you're a professor of physics? Yes. Why? Why what? Why are you an evolutionist if you're a professor of physics? And he stepped back. He couldn't figure that one out. And I said, if you know so much, you know so much about God's nature if you understand physics. Why are you an evolutionist? And he said, he didn't know. He couldn't give me an answer. And I said, give me one on scientific grounds. He couldn't do it. If you're not a Christian this morning, it may be because somebody gave you a bad example of Christianity, or maybe somehow you think Jesus burned you somehow. Those things are not true. But if you're not a Christian this morning, it has nothing to do with your intellect. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with your will. Because Jesus has been revealed by many infallible proofs. We can prove that Jesus Christ existed. We can prove that science, true science, is always in accordance with the Bible, constantly. The Bible never changes, yet our understanding of science changes constantly. And every time we find a new truth, what does it do? It points us back to the Bible again. It's been true all along. Many infallible proofs. And being assembled together in verse 4, the scripture says, he gathered them and commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit, which he said to you, you have heard me, which you've heard from me. Look at verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, speaking of John the Baptist, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, literally 10 days after Jesus rose into heaven, or 50 days after Pentecost, or Passover. Jesus says you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting is you look up the word baptized, and you know what that word means in the Greek? Right here, it's black and white. It means to be immersed in water, all the way submerged down under, and I'm not talking Australia. Underwater means to be fully immersed. The word in the Greek means to become absolutely wet. Ooh, I like that. Jesus says, for truly John baptized you with water. Well, what does that have to do with it? But you shall be totally immersed. You shall become incredibly wet all the way under by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He's talking to believers. But they need the power of the Holy Spirit. They hadn't had it yet. And as we get into this book, you're going to see Peter get filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to preach with power. It has nothing to do with salvation. We have all been baptized in the body of Christ the moment we believe. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have been sealed unto the day of redemption. But every one of us as believers must be filled again and again. The Bible says so.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Acts of the Apostles. It's a study taken from chapter 1 of the book of Acts in the first few verses. In fact, today is the very first in this new series here on Real Radio. On tomorrow's edition, we'll continue with more. You know, since we're just getting underway with this new study series, why not tell a friend to tune in? Carmela from New Jersey writes, I love your message, and they inspire me to walk with the Lord Jesus. I usually call my good friend, who also listens to you out here, and we discuss the message and how it applies to our lives. I thank you for sharing your ministry online and on the radio, and thank God for the work you do. God bless you, your family, and this ministry. Well, thank you, Carmela, for those words of encouragement, which mean a lot more than most realize. Matter of fact, if you've been thinking about getting in touch with us here at Real Radio, well, as the old adage goes, there's no better time than the present. And it really couldn't be easier. You see, there's more than one way. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click on the word reaction. Or call us using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of this contact info, just remember realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.